Genesis chapter number 37 is where we'll be for tonight. Genesis chapter 37. And do me a favor, we'll do like we did this morning. If you'll find a place in Genesis 37 and then also find a place in Genesis chapter number 50. And we'll read both of those chapters this afternoon. And from those two, we'll develop a thought that God has given us. And hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. Genesis chapter 37 and Genesis chapter 50. If you'll stand with me, let's read a few verses out of the Word of God together. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 37. The Bible says, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bila, and with the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." Look at verse 8. "And his brethren said unto him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words." Drop down to verse 17. "And the man said, they are departed thence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." Look now at verse 23. "And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph of his coat, his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into some pit. And the pit was empty, there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked. And behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come now, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and our brethren and the brethren were content." Now turn over to chapter 50, if you will, and let's read one verse there. It's verse number 20. Chapter number 50 and verse number 20. And Joseph is speaking now and says, "But as for you," talking to his brethren, "but as for you, ye thought evil against me." And boy, did they ever think evil against him. "You thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." God, I pray you help us for a few minutes. Lord, I need you in this message. God, you know my heart. I want to be a blessing to somebody. And I pray that you would help us at this time. We ask in Jesus' name. And amen. You can be seated. Each of you are familiar with the passage of Scripture that we just read from. In Genesis chapter number 37, we read where Joseph is hated, mistreated, and abused by his brethren. While it would certainly have been hard to be the baby brother of 10 older boys, this went beyond sibling rivalry. This was Joseph's brothers acting in hatred against their younger brother. If the story of Joseph was to end in chapter 37 with his family hating him, then that would have been a terrible ending. But that is not the end of the story of Joseph. We read where Joseph's life goes from bad, seemingly, to worse. It seems that one misfortune after another misfortune happens in the life of Joseph. He goes from the pit to the prison, and he does so of no fault of his own. Joseph did not deserve it, but one bad thing after another continues to happen in the life of Joseph. Now allow me to say this tonight, and please understand what I'm saying. If there was ever a man in the Bible that had a right to be bitter, it was Joseph. He had every right to be bitter against his brethren. He had every right to be bitter against Potiphar's wife. He had every right to be bitter against the cupbearer that forgot him in prison. You could even say that he had a right to be bitter at life as a whole. It is interesting, however, when we come to Genesis chapter number 50, Joseph gives us a testimony, and it is not the testimony we would expect. Joseph says in chapter 50, having been reunited with his family, he testifies to the blessings of God. You would think Joseph would say, I'm bitter and I'm angry and I'm upset and I've never let it go. But he says, God's blessed me. Joseph says that everything that happened to him in his life happened for the purpose of the divine will of God. And if you'll allow me to say it this way, Joseph was better, not bitter. Amen. This is an amazing testimony. Joseph said God meant it for good. I read and thought about Joseph this week, and it reminded me of the testimony of the Apostle Paul. Paul, writing to the Philippian church in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12, said, but I would have you understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Now that's an amazing testimony. Paul, you remember the story of Philippi. He was beat and he was in prison and he was left there at the midnight hour. But he said everything that happened in Philippi happened for good and for God. But now, that was just one instance in the life of Paul. That's an amazing testimony. But Joseph, it was his whole life. It was his whole life. Tonight I want to preach for a few minutes on the thought, being better, not bitter. Being better, not bitter. Tonight I want us to consider the life of Joseph. I want us to consider a few things in his life that allowed him to be better, not bitter. The reason that I feel like this is such an important topic, I told you this morning I would be preaching on something that was needful tonight in this service. The reason I feel like this is so important is because I believe that you and I are living in an angry world. This world is angry. We are at each other's throats. But the worst part about it is that this anger has not only infiltrated our world, but it has seeped into our churches. The dictionary says that bitterness is anger and disappointment at being treated unfairly. Or it says this, it is resentment. The definition of bitterness says that it describes it as a sharp arrow piercing into someone. Can I say that there are many people that have bitterness in their heart? They feel that they have been let down. They feel disappointed in someone or something. They feel as though they've been treated unfairly. And anger has pierced their souls. It could be that someone is bitter against their spouse. It could be that somebody is bitter against a parent. Somebody maybe is bitter against a boss, bitter against a family member, bitter against another church member. No, dare I say, there are even some people that are bitter against God. The Bible tells us that bitterness is a sin. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 and 15, it says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail at the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You see, bitterness will defile you, the writer says. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul warns us against bitterness and against all of the evil cousins that come along with it. He said in Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You see, he said, you've got to do away with some things. He said, do away with anger. You know what anger is? Anger is when you get mad at someone, or you get upset at someone, or upset at something. But I believe bitterness is a step beyond that. I believe bitterness goes beyond anger. Bitterness is when anger embeds itself into your heart, and it begins to control your life. You say, well, how do I know if I'm bitter against somebody, preacher? Well, let me tell you how you'll know. If you can't be in the same room with someone without being angry, then you've got bitterness in your heart. If you can't hear someone talk about someone else without being angry, there's bitterness in your heart. If you can't think of a person without being angry, then there's bitterness in your heart. You know what bitterness will do? Bitterness will consume you. A person who is bitter is often resentful, cynical, harsh, cold, relentless, and they are just generally unpleasant to be around. It consumes them. They are bitter in their soul. Finally, Paul says you've got to do away with wrath. You know what wrath is? Wrath is the outward explosion of inner bitterness. You see, when bitterness is bottled up on the inside, it's like a Coke bottle that you shake it up and shake it up and shake it up. And eventually when the top is taken off, it explodes into wrath. You know why some people just snap and they say things and they wish they'd have not said it, and they wish they could choke it back, but they said it and they just maybe didn't even mean to say it? It's because that's bottled up inside of them. Can I tell you the worst part of bitterness? The worst part of bitterness is that the person you hurt the most when you're bitter is yourself. Amen. Tonight, give me just a few minutes. I want to preach on being better, not bitter. I want us to consider Joseph. We know his life story, but we'll run through it quickly. I want you to see three things. I really only want to preach two of them, but I'll show you three. Number one, I want you to see the injustice. I want you to see the injustice. Genesis chapter 37 and verse 3 says, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. When I think about Joseph and all the things that happened to him, the best way I know to describe this man's life is that it was an injustice. I've told you before, but I'll mention it again. Joseph is one of the only Bible characters that you cannot read one fault in his life. Now, Joseph was a man. I'm sure that he sinned, because we are all fallen sinners, so I'm sure that he did, but you don't read of one. You know what that tells me? It tells me that Joseph did not do anything to deserve the things that happened into his life. Therefore, we must think of and consider when we consider Joseph the thought, why would something like this happen to somebody that lived the way that he did? But you know, the truth is that many of us have asked that same question. We've asked this, why do bad things happen to good people? We've maybe thought this, why do the innocent suffer? In our minds, it seems like such an injustice, and it was certainly, seemingly, an injustice that this happened in the life of Joseph. Write this down, letter A. Joseph was mocked for his dreams. If you read Genesis chapter 37, you'll discover that God gave Joseph two dreams. In one dream, there's some sheaves, and the sheaves bow down before his sheaf. And he tells his brethren about it, and they laugh at him, and they mock him. And he has another dream, and there are stars in the sky, and they bow down and they worship him. And the sun and the moon, meaning his father and mother, they also bow down and they worship him. And he tells his family these dreams. The Bible says they laugh at him and they make fun of him and they mock him for the dreams that he has. Now the reality is that God had given Joseph these dreams. And we know through the benefit of history that these dreams would come to pass. They would bow down before him. They would fall at his feet. But they did not know that at this time. And they mock him and they make fun of him for the dreams that he had. Can I say nobody likes to be made fun of? Nobody likes to be mocked. Nobody likes to be made fun of, especially when all we're trying to do is just do right. You ever had anybody make fun of you? Belittle you for coming to church. Belittle you for trying to do right. Belittle you for just trying to be a Christian. It is hard to deal with somebody making fun of you. I thought about Nehemiah. When Nehemiah was building that wall, the Bible says that Sanballat and Tobiah, they come to see the wall being built. And the Bible says they begin to mock them and laugh at them. And they say if a fox was to run on that wall, it would surely crumble. They were making fun of them for trying to serve God. You know what the devil will do in our lives oftentimes? He'll send some Sanballat and some Tobiah to make fun of us. They mocked him for his dreams. Joseph was mocked for his dreams. Letter B, Joseph was mistreated by his brethren. After they make fun of him, the Bible in the scripture we just read said that one day Joseph is sent out by his father to go check on his brothers. And his brothers see him at a distance and they see him coming. And one of the brothers says to the other brothers, I tell you what we ought to do. We ought to kill him. It goes from mockery to manslaughter. We ought to kill him. That's the level of hatred that they had for Joseph. When Joseph arrives to where they're at, they've decided they won't kill him right yet. They're just trying to figure out what to do with him. So the Bible says they throw him in a pit. And after they throw him in a pit, they sit down and eat. Can you imagine the anger and the hatred that they have? They throw their own flesh and blood in a pit and then just sit down to enjoy lunch. Seeing a caravan of Ishmaelites, they sell him as a slave into Egypt. And Joseph was mistreated by his brother. Can I say tonight, some people are bitter because they've been made fun of, but some people are bitter because they've been mistreated. Some people are bitter because somebody has hurt them. Bitterness has crept into their soul. Maybe somebody has hurt them physically. Maybe somebody has hurt them mentally or hurt them emotionally. And that physical pain or that mental pain, that emotional pain has put something inside of them They did not ask for it. They did not want it, but it found them nonetheless. And inside of them is a root of bitterness because they feel like they've been mistreated. You know, some people have been hurt. Some people have suffered abuse. Some people have been hurt on one occasion, just one instance, and it affected them spiritually. But some people have been abused, Brother James. They've been hurt over and over and over again. Oftentimes, day by day, things have been said or things have been done. They've not only been hurt, they've been abused. And that abuse on a regular basis has caused... They don't think about it all the time and they never talk about it. But inside of them, they know that it's there. And they've become bitter because they were mistreated. He was mocked by his brethren. He was mocked for his dreams. He was mistreated by his brethren. Let her see, he was misrepresented by Potiphar's wife. We know the way the story progresses. He's sold by the sold to the Ishmaelites. They take him into Egypt. And one day there's an auction being held. There's a fine young 17-year-old boy on the auction block, and a man named Potiphar buys him. And he's put into Potiphar's house as a slave. And Potiphar soon makes a realization. And the realization is that everything Joseph touches turns to good. And so Potiphar advances him and advances him and advances him into his household to where it comes to the point that Potiphar doesn't even know what he has. He's just committed all to Joseph because God's blessing him. And one day, the one thing that Potiphar had not given to Joseph puts him in a tricky situation. And Potiphar's wife says, "Joseph, I want you to lie with me." Now, if you read the story in the Word of God, you'll discover two things. You'll discover this. Number one, Potiphar's wife was probably an attractive woman. Probably an attractive woman. Number two, you'll discover that she did not just tempt him once. The Bible says she did it day by day. Every day when she found an opportunity, "Joseph, lie with me. Joseph, come here to me. Joseph, I..." But we know that Joseph would not relent. Joseph would not give in. Joseph stood his ground. He told her no and told her no and told her no. And when she realized that Joseph would not give in, she cried out, "So he's tried to take me. He's tried to abuse me. Oh, can..." And Joseph was misrepresented. Joseph never did anything against that woman. She cried wolf anyways. It's hard to be made fun of. Sometimes people have suffered mistreatment. I'm telling you, it's hard to be lied about. It's painful when somebody says something about you that you know is not true. Amen. It's painful when people talk about you in a light that is not flattering. Yeah. And it's even worse when they're incorrect in what they're saying. Amen. You have ever had anybody question your motives? And you know that your motives were good and pure, but somebody said something. Maybe they took something out of context. And they told somebody something, and it hurts you. I'm saying he was misrepresented by Potiphar's wife. Letter D, he was misplaced by Pharaoh's cupbearer. Oh, again, we know the story. Joseph, because the lie of Potiphar's wife, he's put into prison. Being put into prison, he's there with baker and the cupbearer, and eventually they both have dreams, and Joseph interprets their dreams, and he tells the one that he's going to be restored, and the other he's going to be hung, and the one is hung, and the other is restored, and the only thing Joseph asks is, "Don't forget about me when you go before Pharaoh. Don't forget me. Don't forget what I did for you." And the one thing he asked is the one thing that he did. He forgot all about Joseph. And Joseph is left in prison. Shouldn't have been there in the first place. But there he is, just tried to help somebody, and they overlooked him when he needed help. Doesn't it hurt to be left out? Doesn't it hurt to be overlooked? It hurts when you feel like somebody has completely forgotten about you. Joseph was mocked. He was mistreated. He was misrepresented. He was misplaced. And I say nobody would have blamed Joseph if he would have been bitter. It had been bad to be made fun of. But after you made fun of, somebody abuses you. Somebody lies about you. Somebody forgets you. Nobody would have blamed Joseph. If this would have happened to one of us, nobody would have blamed us. But can I say bitterness is not healthy. Amen. Although somebody might understand, that does not make it right. And there may be somebody here, and you say, "Preacher, you don't know what I've gone through. Preacher, you don't know what happened to me in secret. Preacher, you don't know. You've not seen what I've seen." But that doesn't make the bitterness any better. Amen. It doesn't make it right. Joanna Weaver made this famous statement. She said, "Bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die." I gave that exact quote to a young man today on the phone, texting me, and he's bitter in his heart and he's angry in his heart against people. And I text back and said, "Bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other people to die." You see, the bitterness in your heart against someone else, it's not affecting them. You are bitter and it is crippling your life. They're just going on with life. But you know what it's doing to the inside of you? It's destroying you. Can I give you an example of bitterness? The Bible gives us an Old Testament example of bitterness. It's in Numbers chapter number 5. The Bible tells us something strange in Numbers chapter 5. It tells us about a man that becomes jealous. The spirit of jealousy comes upon him with his wife. And he and his soul feels like his wife has done something that she should not do. God through Moses says, here's what you do. You bring the woman to the priest. And you sit her before the priest and he begins to question her. He writes down in a book all the things that you think that she's done. And then the Bible says that the priest is to take some water, take some of the dirt off the ground, mix it in the water, and she's to swear that she did not do what her husband thinks that she did. She's to drink that water, or what the Bible calls the cup of bitterness. That's what it calls it, the cup of bitterness. And if she is innocent, then nothing happens. In fact, the Bible says if she's innocent, nothing happens, that God will bless her and give her a child. But if she's guilty, Brother James, her thigh begins to rot and her stomach begins to swell. She begins to die from the inside. And can I say there are many people that have drunk the cup of bitterness and they're rotting inside and they're dying inside because of that bitterness that is in their soul. There are many unfortunate Christians that are dying inside because they're filled with bitterness. The good news is that it doesn't have to be this way. Amen. You can stop yourself with God's help. I remember the story of David. David is an exile from Saul. Saul is chasing after him, trying to take his life. And David and his men are in a land, and there's a very prosperous man in that land by the name of Nabal. And David sends men to this man Nabal and says, we need some help. We need some provisions. Could you take care of us? Nabal's a wicked man. He's a mean man. He sends him away. Says, there's no way I would help you. Brother Wally, when David hears that and they come back with that report, the Bible says David gets angry inside. So angry that he loads his men up and says, that's fine, if that's the way he wants to be, let's go and we will kill him for the way. Bitterness. But before he gets to Nabal, he meets an Abigail, Nabal's wife. And Abigail runs out to David, and she says this in 1 Samuel 25, 32 and 33. She said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which hath sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advance, and blessed be thou, which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand. David said, God has blessed me with you, Abigail, because in you, you have stopped me from doing something that I should not have done. Amen. See, there's a way out of bitterness. I see the injustice. Number two, not only do I see the injustice, but I see the inconceivable. I see the inconceivable. Genesis chapter 50, verse 18 says, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face. Oh, this is all these years later. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good, and to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. When his brethren meet him again, Joseph was in the position that he could have imprisoned them. He could have killed them. He could have made things even with them. He had the power of the Egyptian army behind him. He could have said, now it's your turn. But he spake kindly to them, and he comforted them. I said a moment ago that nobody probably would have blamed Joseph for being bitter with his brethren, but he wasn't. Not one time do we ever read where Joseph was bitter with his brethren. We never read he was bitter with Potiphar's wife. We never read he was bitter with a cupbearer. Joseph could have been, but he wasn't. He was never bitter. Paul, writing in Romans chapter 12, says in verse 17 through 21, he said, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Long before there was a Romans 12, Joseph was doing this very thing. Amen. He was feeding his enemy and giving his enemy something to drink. And he was not recompensing evil for evil, but giving good to evil. You say, well, preacher, I don't know if I can do that. Well, let me show you a few things Joseph did, and it might help you. Letter A, he remembered his father's favor. He remembered his father's favor. I'm sure that it hurt when his brothers made fun of him. I'm sure that when they would laugh and say, here comes the dreamer, I'm sure that that made him sad. But all Joseph had to do was look down in the midst of his sadness, and all he had to do was look down, and you know what he would see? He'd see a coat of many colors. And that coat of many colors would testify to him that while things may not be great in his life at that time, there was one thing that he had nobody could take away. He had his father's favor. Everybody else laughed and said he's the dreamer, but he knew that Dad loved him. When we're facing bitterness, we must remember that we have the favor of our Heavenly Father. He has clothed us in His righteousness. He has filled us with His Holy Spirit. Look around you and you'll see all the blessings that He's poured out on you. God loves you. You say, I've been hurt. I know it, but God still loves you. And you say, I've been misrepresented. I know, but God still loves you. And you say, they're making fun of me. Yes, that may be true, but God's love is all around you. The joy of the Lord and the love of the Lord are able to melt the stony heart of bitterness. Do you know it's hard to feel bitter and love all at the same time? You've got that hard heart, but when you begin to accept and realize that God loves you, that hard heart will soon begin to soften up and that bitterness melt away. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. You say, I'm bitter. Let God's love into your heart, and it'll be like a medicine for your soul. He remembered his father's favor. Letter B, he offered his brothers forgiveness. In the verses that we just read a moment ago, the brothers of Joseph fall down at his feet, and in return, Joseph tells them, I forgive you. Do you know what I believe? I could be wrong, but I don't think that I am. I believe that Joseph forgave his brothers long before Genesis chapter 50. Amen. The only way Joseph could have lived his life without bitterness is to forgive them. Someone once said, the first to apologize is the bravest. The first to forgive is the strongest. The first to forget is the happiest. Colossians 3:13 says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye. If I'm right, I think I am, and Joseph forgave them before Genesis 50, you know what that means? That means he forgave them before they ever asked for forgiveness. If you're going to get rid of bitterness, you may have to forgive somebody that hasn't even asked you for forgiveness. That's right. Well, I'd forgive them if they'd admit what they did. I'd forgive them if they asked me. You may have to forgive them even if they don't ask. You say, why should I do that? You need to do that for your peace so you can sleep easy at night, so you can move on with your life, so you can stop being the person that you are right now. If I'm right and Joseph forgave them before Genesis 50, you know what that means? It means Joseph forgave them even though they didn't deserve forgiveness. They don't deserve my forgiveness. They may not. You might be right. They may not deserve it. But you might need to give it to them anyways. He offered his brothers forgiveness. Letter C, he placed integrity first. Can you imagine the pressure that Joseph endured in the home of Potiphar? I mentioned it a minute ago. She tempted him over and over and over again. Day by day is the way the Scripture says it. Here's a young man with an attractive woman making daily advances to him. But do you know the one thing that kept Joseph clean? It was the fact that he made integrity a priority. And do you know it was the same thing that kept Joseph from being bitter? When she lied about him, he kept his integrity first and foremost. You know what often happens when somebody does us wrong? Somebody says something about us that's not true. You know what often happens? We jump down there in the pit with them. Let's go. Instead of keeping on walking with God, saying they may say things that are not true, they may do things that are wrong, but I've got to keep serving God. I've got to live for God no matter what everybody else says. It's painful when somebody lies about you. It's painful when somebody strikes out against you. But it is not worth your testimony to be bitter. It is not worth your peace with God to be bitter. They may hurt you, but don't let them steal your peace away. Letter D, he trusted in God's faithfulness. I believe the attitude of Joseph through this whole process was this: I don't know what's going on, but I trust God. When something else would happen, he would think, I don't know why this is happening, but I trust God. Amen. Oh, I've been forgot about. It's happened again. But I trust God. And Joseph did not know it, but God would save many, many lives by the end of this thing. God would pour out blessings on Joseph, but he didn't know it at the time. He's just trusting God. And when things went from bad to worse, he just kept on trusting God. Can I say, friend, I don't know what happened yesterday, but I can assure you of this: God has not forgotten about you. And I don't know what will happen tomorrow, but I can assure you of this: God will not fail you. Amen. Trust God. You may go through difficulty, but let the pain go and trust God. In 1 Samuel chapter number 30, David and his men returned back from fighting a battle. They were victorious in their fight, and they come back to discover the unthinkable has happened. While they are away, someone has come and stolen their women and children and all of their goods. And when this happens, the Bible says that the men become angry at David. It wasn't David's fault. David was just doing what he was supposed to do. They were so angry, Brother Scott, they talked about killing him, stoning him for what happened. And David could have got bitter. David could have got angry in return at their anger they sent his way. But instead, you know what the Bible says David did in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6? It says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. David said, I don't know why this has happened, but I'm trusting God. And he encouraged himself in the Lord. And I'll not preach this one. Here's my third thought. I see the injustice. I see the inconceivable. I see the illustration. Hebrews 12:3 says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. The Hebrew writer said, when you are going through hardships, consider Jesus Christ. Can I say that Jesus Christ was mocked for his message? He was mocked for his message, but he always had the favor of the Father. Can I say that Jesus was mistreated by his brethren, but aren't you glad he offered them forgiveness? Amen. Let me say, Jesus was misrepresented by those that he came to help, but he always was a man of integrity. Amen. Jesus was misplaced by those that he came to save, but he knew the Father had a plan. And all that means is this: when you're going through what you're going through, you can go to Him because He's been through it too. That great man of prayer, and I'm done with this, that great man of prayer, F.B. Meyer, one time said, as we pour out our bitterness, God pours in His peace. I wonder, as we bow our heads and we close our eyes, we begin to pray and search our own souls. I wonder if there's something lingering in the back of your heart. You try to suppress it and you try to keep it back, but you know that it's there. And there's a root of bitterness. Sometimes that bitterness explodes in wrath because you can't keep it hid all the time. I wonder if there's somebody tonight that would like to pour out their bitterness and in return allow God to pour in His peace. Oh, I promise you, friend, it's a tough thing to admit when we're bitter. But you don't have to be bitter. You can be better. I wonder if there's anybody needs to pray.